Your station.
Your community.
Samnet Radio.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com,
a production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Law.
And welcome to Serotalk Podcast number 6, Michael Loff, and of course the unmistakable
Jones. No, it's Mike Calvo. How's everybody doing out there in podcast land?
Man, we have a lot of announcements, Mike. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on.
Yeah, you know, I almost thought you were going to slip there. All kinds of cool stuff, huh? I like that.
Anyway, they used to use that in a radio station in St. Louis. They had a mascot as a pig, and everything was stuff and sweet meat.
It's one of those 7 words that George Carlin said you couldn't say on the radio, stuff. We've got a lot going on. There is a huge announcement going to take place at ATIA that is going to change the adaptive technology industry forever. First of all, let's talk about Samnet Radio, which is your baby. Michael, why don't you tell us about Samnet Radio and what it means and what your plans are for it, and what is Samnet anyway?
You heard it here, Samnet Radio. We's going to have our own radio station broadcasting in 128K stereo. Great music, the best of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. And you will hear some activities going on with the Samnet community. Samnet Radio is great music, and we will do some live talk events and other things as time goes on. It's announcements, promotions going on with the network and users and things they're doing. Just another integral part, teaming up with social networking and our voice chats, and just another way to tie this great community together and help us expand and stay in touch with each other. The music's going to be very interesting. Like I said, it's kind of the best of over the last 40 years, but it will be a work in progress. The great thing about internet radio, you can see what people are listening to, what they like, and if you play a particular song or an artist or type of music and you see that people tune away, you instantly know that information and you can adjust the radio station over time, really hone in on what people like.
Google, we're going to be a perpetual beta.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just like Pandora or the Last.fm where it kind of learns, you're able to learn as time goes on what your people like, and it's impossible to get something that's 100% satisfaction for all people, but I think it's a good mix of music. The software that keeps it all running is very tight, sounds really good. I'm very excited about it.
Don't worry, we're not going to keep Michael up there, you know, spinning CDs all day and night. It's automated, folks. Don't be worried about Michael. He'll be getting his shut eye and he'll be able to maintain other parts of the network, spinning your favorite hits after hit after hit. And also, the very coolest thing that I'm excited about is this year, Serotech is sponsoring the Internet Pavilion over at ATIA. And we are going to actually be doing live broadcasts. One of the things that we've committed to do at Serotech is to provide the blind community with information. And to do that, we can't just make this a Serotech island or a System Access island. We need to reach out to other AT companies and say, hey, you know, would you like to use the power of the internet to market your products, take advantage of our listeners and the people that tune into us, not just because of System Access or the System Access Mobile Network, but because we're blind people and we want to know information that's important to blind people about products that we can use in our everyday lives. So we will be in the Internet Pavilion over at ATIA. Here in sunny but very cold today, Orlando. We're going to be doing interviews with product and service providers in the AT industry. At ATIA, it's going to be the first time that you're going to be able to listen live on the internet to information and interviews done on the spot with people that are right there. And they're promoting their products and their services at ATIA. And we're going to bring that live to you on Samnet Radio. And yes, our competitors are invited. Now, we don't know if they'll come. Yes, we all play to win, folks, but AT is not a religion. I'm certainly here to extend the power of the internet to the best of our ability to any other AT player in this industry. And that includes, you know, other screen reader manufacturers and things of that nature. I think that there's many, many an innovation in this market that people can take advantage of.
We are inviting all 133 companies other than ourselves. I list I have that shows 134 participating companies. So certainly if you're in the Orlando area, come in and check out the event.
We really want your participation. We're not going to bring it up there and go, oh yeah, well, look what they said. We are not here to do product reviews. We are simply here to bring the community information that's unbiased and that's straight from the AT company's mouth. Serotalk is a community-oriented effort, and it is not a Serotech effort as much as it is a blindness community building block that gives us information. I can tell you from speaking and reading many emails that hundreds of netbooks have been purchased because of our podcasts. I hear from people with netbooks every day. And to that end, one thing that Serotech has done, and we just released a version of System Access that will run on the Atom platform, which is the platform that netbooks use. It's the Intel Atom platform. Because of the price of the technology and the low, low cost of these notebooks, it allows you to get into a netbook device for very little money. What we've done is we've rolled out two packages based on the Lenovo S10e. They're $799 and $999, respectively. They're two different packages. You can read about them at serotech.com or give us a call at 866-202-0520 and talk to a representative, and they can explain it to you. Or if you buy your own netbook, if you have your own netbook, we're going to sell you a single license for the Atom processor. This license will only work on Intel Atom processors. You can transfer it as many times as you want, you know, wherever you want, but it can only be transferred to another Atom machine for $149. So that's the first time in our industry that a screen reader has been that inexpensive. $149, and you are going to be really, really intrigued by the power that this thing has in the Atom processors. If you want to, at a later time, let's say you buy this $149 thing and you use the Atom for a year or two and you say, you know, I don't want to use Atom anymore. I want to go to a regular machine. We're going to give you an upgrade path as well so your money's not thrown into a black hole. But $149, it doesn't require a network subscription. It doesn't require anything. $149, you've got a screen reader for your new shiny new netbook, whether it be an HP, whether it be the Lenovo, whether it be the MSI Wind. There's a ton of them. These Samsungs that people are buying now. Oh gosh, the Acer Aspires, the Asus, of course, Michael, which you have. I mean, there's just a ton of these netbooks out there, and there's more to come. There's one that I want to play with that I read about from CES, and it's called the Sony P. These are the things that are happening. Did I miss out on anything?
We invite everyone to just tune in on the 28th as we make the big announcement that's going to rock the AT world. Just to reiterate, you're talking now $500, $600. You can have a netbook, a computer with System Access.
There's a line of desktop machines that are coming out that have this Atom processor in them as well, and they're going to be dual-core Atom processors, and you can also install them there. And these computers, these desktop computers, are going to be between $250 and $350. So you're talking about $400 and you've got a talking desktop. I mean, that's just really, really amazing. And this is the kind of information we expect to bring you on both on this podcast and on SamNet Radio.
All of these things in the show notes, including all kinds of book websites that we're talking about.
You have a great review coming up right now with the girls, and then I'm going to be back to show a gadget that I've been talking about here and there, and I'm going to demonstrate it after the wonderful interview that you had with Deborah and with Ricky.
Stay tuned, folks.
Tell your friends, coworkers, family, even your mama. SamNet Radio.
This is Michael Loff.
I'm Ricky Inger.
And I'm Deborah Kendrick.
Hey, welcome. Deborah. Hey, welcome, Deborah Kendrick.
Known it's awesome to have you here.
Yes, known author, actually gets paid to write. What an honor to speak with you today.
And what an
how cool
awesome
is that?
Job she does. Yeah.
You know, Deborah and I were talking yesterday how fortunate I feel to work for a company where I get to get paid to put together podcasts and audio. Those are the fortunate few who don't dread Monday morning. But today's topic is books. Do you read?
My favorite topic.
Can you read? And where do you go for books? Do you like the audio books?
Stop reading.
Right. Do you prefer textbooks? Do you pay for books? Are you a library fiend? Do you pay for online services like Audible or maybe on the beta program for the NLS Talking Book Service? Or do you just acquire books through various means Coming up later, I am going to do a review of the newly enhanced Bookshare.org. Have either of you ladies played with that in the last week? And what do you think of the new interface?
It's got a great new look and feel to the site. When you log in for the first time after the site update, you will get to take a lovely little survey where they kind of ask you about your current access technology.
System access was not included, so I made sure to put that
in
my comments.
It was not. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of write-ins. I almost feel like it's a ballot, yeah. And we're going to be a write-in candidate. And so, exactly. Me too. So definitely be sure that as you go through that survey, you do mention that you use system access, if you in fact do. And they've made lots of really cool new changes. It is a much more intuitive site to navigate now.
Over at accessibleworld.org, Tuesday the 20th, and so you could probably go there and hear the archive of that event. Some people
it's
are upset
cool.
because they got rid of the HTML, but they do have an XML file, which does work on the Victor stream, although I do understand that initially there were some problems with the Victor stream and Braille Plus. Some different note takers were having issues.
Most of them have been resolved. There may be a few note takers that are still having issues, but updates are on the way from those vendors to address that.
A couple thousand, anyway, were books that were already available through the Gutenberg project. And I think from Samizdat, Richard Seltzer, who had been compiling uncopyrighted books on CD-ROMs for a number of years.
They have gotten cooperation with a couple of publishers, and so that they are getting publisher-quality books. So,
textbooks, yeah.
Yep, so that's cutting down on the amount that volunteers actually have to scan. Wonderful resource to get not only textbooks, but the latest bestsellers and that sort of thing.
I think all three of us are actually involved in the NLS Digital Talking Book Program, which I think is just totally awesome. They've really done a great job with that. Deborah, you were there at the beginning, right?
I think it was September of 2006. There were an exact 100 of us, and NLS was very precise about not going beyond that 100, who were provided with machines that were actually adapted Victor Reader Classics, I think. Those had been adapted to play the NLS content, the machine, and an SD card reader and an SD card. And those very first SD cards that they sent to all of us were really tiny, like, I don't remember, but 256 meg or 512 meg or something. And right away, people wanted more than one book. Some of us were, putting two and three books on there. And then the word came out from NLS, no, we are not authorizing multiple books. You can only put one book on at a time. So I think a lot of us were, secretly going against the grain.
Now, pretty much any user of the Victor stream can get involved with the pilot program. You can get 30 books per month, and you can keep all those, I guess, and build your own library. Now, that could also be magazines. They have... Although they've changed, I used to read, Sound and Vision, Consumer Reports.
Yep, they've still got Consumer Reports, I believe.
Yeah, they do. They do.
I haven't seen every issue, though.
Sometimes they run late, and I've noticed with the weekly magazines, because I'm a fan of, U.S. News and World Report, Nation, and People, and a lot of those weeklies, they tend to run behind. But I think... the magazines, if someone had never experienced an audio book with Daisy markup, a magazine is the way to get immediately hooked, because those almost always have all four levels of markup, not only article to article, but subsection to subsection. In magazines that have, especially like lists of things, like I like magazines with recipes, and you can, just jump from one recipe to another, and maybe even faster than scanning with sight. I think sometimes that digital books and Daisy markup gives people who aren't reading print an edge for the first time ever.
It's awesome. Absolutely. Those of you who queue and review through cassettes to play with this and quickly move around in the book, no longer do you have to worry about four sides and the tones and...
fast forwarding, however long.
To that chipmunk chatter and turning it down so it doesn't impair your
lovely.
Hearing for life. And
yeah, that's what's
setting
so cool
bookmarks.
Too, is how you can.
So if there's a part of it, a particular website or something that you want to note or come back to in the future.
Speaking of the sort of chipmunk, one thing that I absolutely love is that I always, when reading NLS books on cassette, I sped it up quite a bit faster than it was actually recorded, and so the narrator became sort of Alvin, Simon, and Theodore, but with with the Victor, you can easily speed up the narrator's speech without impacting the actual voice pitch, and that's very, very nice.
That is so wonderful, which means you can get through an 8-hour book maybe in 4 hours. Spoken like a true addict.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I easily knock 40% off. It depends on the reader.
And the material.
Now it seems like these readers, why are you speaking abnormally slow? But
oh, I know, it is like that.
The available pieces of equipment that can play the NLS books. The Victor Stream is not the only one commercially available. You can play them on the Icon and on the Braille Plus available from APH. And the Plexter Pocket is also going to be adding NLS capabilities, just so we were not seen as strictly doing commercials for Victor Reader Stream.
Audible, I want to talk about that briefly. Well, I used it for a year. Deborah's been using it for quite a while. So Deborah, talk about your Audible experience and the type of content you can get over there.
In 1997, Audible.com began this concept of people downloading audio material, live human voices, to their computers and putting them on portable devices. And in the early days, Audible provided a device with the subscription. And I'm blanking on what that original one was, but the point is they weren't ubiquitous the way they are now. And in the beginning, their target audience was executives with driving commutes. The offerings were mostly like Wall Street Journal excerpts and New York Times excerpts, but books were added pretty quickly. And naturally, blind people, being the audio geeks that we are, caught on to this cool commercial service. Now, not only can you get bestsellers, a whole range of materials, sometimes the same ones you get from NLS, sometimes not. Frequently in the publishing industry now, books, recorded edition is released the same day the print edition is commercially. So frequently that is really a boon for Audible, because if Jeffrey Deaver or Michael Connelly or Mary Higgins Clark or, you know, one of the really popular authors comes out with a new book, boom, that audio version is available right on track with the print. And NLS is starting to work with some of those commercial publishers as well. You can listen to them on your computer. Humanware has also worked out a cooperative agreement with Audible so that when you download it to a portable device, our Victor Reader Stream is actually right there on the list. And I think Icon is too. But you can download these books to a number of commercial players too. But what's great is they also have, during the last two presidential elections, I downloaded all of the speeches and listen to them. So if you were busy, you know, the night that Michelle Obama gave her speech, you could download it for free the next day from Audible and put it on your Victor Reader Stream and bookmark spots that you wanted to, in my case, quote in a newspaper column. So there's a lot of material there that you might not find other places. And a lot of the topical stuff is free.
Yeah, and there's a couple different programs. If you have the bucks to lay out, you can buy like a whole year at $229, but you get 24 credits, which usually each covers a whole book. Now, there are some larger books where you have to use 2 credits. Seemed like everything I read, though, was 1. So that's probably the most economical way, getting it just under $10 per book. Otherwise, a lot of them could be about $20 a piece, so that saves you about 50% on those. Or they do have a monthly plan, I believe. Do they still have that, like $14.95 a month? They do have some different plans, so you'd have to certainly look at it. Audible, AUDIBLE.com. Different magazines, so if you want some of the daily publications.
They're excerpts, and I don't like them because as a blind person, I'm, you know, we all know what quality narration sounds like from NLS, the readers that they have for The New Yorker and The New York Times and Wall Street Journal, I'd rather listen to them with a text-to-speech reader from Bookshare than the hokey actor voices that read them. Audible has listened to input to varying degrees from blind people since its inception, and there is a listserv called Blind Audible Listeners, and I think it's Yahoo Groups, but I wouldn't swear to that. But they don't always listen, and one thing that I noticed just the other day that's worth mentioning is people using screen readers have had difficulty listening to the samples, and you have to do a lot of workaround stuff. So when you look at books in the Audible catalog, there's always a recorded sample, about 7 minutes of the book, so you can hear what it sounds like. Well, for quite some time, there's been some difficulty, and it takes some real workaround to click on those samples and listen to them. And I just discovered the other day that System Access is the first easy click on the sample and listen experience I've had in a year or two. So go System Access.
Talk about some other resources that you found.
About 10 different states in the country, and not always every city in the state, their public libraries signed on to use a program called Overdrive, which is a little free piece of software. And with Overdrive and Windows Media Player, you download books from your public library. They're in the audio collection. What I would do in my public library audio phase is just go to my public libraries, and in my case, it's Cincinnati. I would go to the Cincinnati Public Library's site and go to the online catalog and go to the digital books and download them, and then with Overdrive, jump chapter by chapter and sometimes smaller increments, and there's quite a collection. So the catch is that the libraries that I know that have been doing it, New York City, Philadelphia, San Francisco, I think Houston, as I said, there are about 10 major cities around the country.
Are any of you using RFB&D, Recordings for Blind and Dyslexic in particular? Have you, any of you downloaded any books with their new technology, which I did one book, and I have to say it is... I respect them for making the effort, but it is a very needlessly overly complicated process to do. And, of course, they are protected WMA files, which means they will not work on your Victor stream. And they were in so many individual pieces. It looks like it uses some kind of file sharing technology to pull things down, and you're really not sure what's going on. I mean, it does work, and maybe it's improved quite a bit. I just don't think most people are going to get the process.
As soon as they came out with the authorization key, because they took forever making a key available for people to play their books on the Victor stream, and I ordered it, but I've never even opened the CD. And I think one reason is that back in the Bookport days, I ordered the RFB&D pin or key or whatever it's called, and I just was so mad. I put the CD in my computer. There was a CAPTCHA. You had to type.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. And hopefully that was very short-lived. I have no idea. Books that no one else has. And so it's too bad to hear that it still isn't easy.
Ricky?
I absolutely love cuddling with Victor. I'm sure there are people all over who love to cuddle up with Victor and listen to NLS books or audiobooks. In addition to that, I was
the
lucky recipient of...
You know what I mean?
That's right. In addition to that, I was the lucky recipient of an iPod Nano for Christmas. Looking forward to getting an...
Name that tune.
We'll just...
Okay. Mike will be reviewing the Nano shortly and showing how to load books on it from Audible.
Audiobooks are becoming more and more prevalent. Apple sort of did not pay much attention to audiobooks. They had a few and sort of said, yeah, we do it, but not very extensively. And they are increasing their audiobooks library, so there are more and more books available for purchase through iTunes. I love Bookshare. I definitely prefer Perfect Paul over Sultry Samantha on the Victor. So I will read either using a Daisy reader or just a screen reader. on my PC. And the other thing that is very useful to me, even though I don't currently have a Braille display, is the NLS Web Braille project. If you do have a Braille display,
Amen.
You can certainly download those books and read them right on your note taker or Braille display. But if you don't have a Braille display, that doesn't mean that you can't still take advantage of Web Braille. There's a free translator. I believe it's called WinTrans. Is that right? The NFB translator?
Yeah, WinTrans.
Yeah, WinTrans. Yeah. And you can simply use the file that you download from Web Braille, input that into the translation program, and it spits out a nicely back-translated file for you to read just like you would any other text file.
You can also back-translate them through Kurzweil 1000.
Yes, and I don't currently own that, but that is a possibility, yeah.
Yeah, well, in fact, it's automatic. Like, if you're in Kurzweil 1000 and you go online and get a book from Web Braille, then it's untranslated as you read it. I think Web Braille may well have been the first source of downloadable books that we have. Listening to books is probably mostly what I do and what lots of us do these days, because for one thing, you can listen to a book and you can do something else at the same time if you want to. If I read something that I really, really enjoy in terms of literature, just really think it's beautifully written, or want to know how to spell the characters' names,
there is
and I
that.
Go back to Web Braille and get it in Braille after I've listened to it, just to look at it. There's no replacement for Braille.
They both absolutely have their place. Thank you so much for joining us, Deborah. It's been a blast.
Thank you for having me. Books,
Thank
books,
you.
Books. We love books.
Yay.
Yes, we love books. Keep on reading.
With the best mix of the last 40 years, it's all good. SamNet Radio.
Bookshare.org. They have made a lot of enhancements, which unfortunately has also upset quite a few people. Some people don't like change, and of course there has been some inconvenience, and I think we know from personal experience, anytime you do a major overhaul of a website or your software or products or services, there's always a few glitches that show up and you have to go through and get those things resolved. By and large, a lot of cool new stuff at Bookshare.org. I'll address some of the highlights. First off, the company is very responsive, so if you're having any difficulty at all, please send an email to support@bookshare.org. One of the things they've done is they eliminated HTML files, and I'm not sure why. I guess maybe to get rid of duplication, because the Daisy Books use the XML file. But for those who like to save their files to the text format, there are a couple things you can do. Just renaming the .xml file to the .html extension, since it is basically a hypertext file. Basically, hit your F2 key and rename the letters after the period, change them from XML or delete to X, and add HT, and you got whatever .html, and you are set there. It'll still read in your devices. If loading it in the browser, save it as a text file. There have been some patches and some forthcoming from the different vendors to make their products work with the new technology. First of all, it's actually easier to use because they got rid of their unpack utility, and now you use the standard built-in zip decompression utility in Windows. Basically, you right-click or hit Shift-F10 and extract the archive. Certainly, any of you who do the NLS program or ever extracted any kind of zip file, it's basically the same thing. There has been a patch put out for the K1000. Haven't played with that yet, but some folks are reporting some issues there, so that may need some refinement. So we'll have to monitor that and see what's going on. But some of the cool features they've added, one is what's called Remember Me mode. So basically, you can say, yes, save my user ID and password, and then when you go to the website, you will automatically log in. Now, there is a limitation. They have set this to last for only 2 weeks. So I assume that means that as long as you log in every 2 weeks, or less than every 14 days, you should be set. One of the things they've added is the ability to navigate by heading. So you can hit H or to move forward or Shift H to move back. That makes navigating the site much quicker. There's also a link to skip to the main content, which they've had before, but they've perfected it. And so when you click on skip, it does get you right to the meat of that page. Very cool feature for partially sighted individuals is Control Dash and Control Plus. And what the Control Plus will do is enlarge the fonts. And Control Dash will make them smaller so that you can get it visually to look the way you want, to make it easier for you to read. Now, this is a very cool feature. It has a download history. So let's say your hard drive crashes and you lose all the books that you ever downloaded. You can go back and look through your download history and re-download the books that you really either need to finish or wanted to keep in your collection. And of course, with anything, when you download books, music, and any other content, you should just get in the habit of saving it to some other media, whether burning it to CD, DVD, or buying the very economical, very affordable USB drives these days, even more popular now because of the netbooks that don't have the CD or DVD technology built in. But the download history is a very awesome feature. If you got two updated pieces of software, you got the Reader Soft, Victor Reader Soft, not to be confused with the Stream, but Victor Reader Soft. With it, they have Speech Engines a cappella. Those are those awesome voices. I particularly like Ryan and Heather, Sappy Five voices there that you can play with your Reader Soft. There's also something called the Don Johnson Read Out Loud software forthcoming for the Macintosh, so all of you Mac users can enjoy Bookshare. Another cool feature for Braille users is the ability to adjust the line length and the grade level. The ability to change the grade of Braille, probably more importantly, the line length, so that you can adjust it for your Braille display or to print out on your particular Braille printer. Another cool feature is the ISBN support. So now if you know the number of the book, you can put that in and get the synopsis, and if they have the book available, you will see that. Now, that is very cool, and that's going to lead into something that we're going to do in the future when I get my forthcoming barcode reader, identify food items, but also the number of the books and get the ISBN number. So maybe now you can go to Bookshare or other entities and get the synopsis of the book. So if you have a bookshelf of stuff and you want to know what it is, yeah, you could lay it on your scanner and read the first page and see what it's about. But now you have a whole wealth of material available to you. Another cool thing, when you're reviewing content, they have the list or table items. Now, the table view will give you just the basic information on the book. But if you choose the option to say list view, then you get more detailed information like synopsis. You can sort your books now by either title, by author, or by copyright date. So you have a wealth of sorting options to quickly look for the material that you're interested in. There is one webinar left that's specifically for volunteers, people who want to submit materials to Bookshare.org. I know a few things that have changed is, one, the submission format now is and is only, to my knowledge, RTF files, which is good. I like that format. I tend to use that even if I write something in Word because it's universal and any computer can open an RTF file. And while it may have limited formatting, you can generally make it look the way you need and make sure that it's going to render on any computer. There's also some spell checker functionality built in, so when you submit it to the website, it can check it. Some good proofing options there. You also, again, have the ISBN lookup capability for metadata purposes, so you can get the synopsis and more information on the books that you're uploading. Users of BrailleSense and VoiceSense are having issues because the file names are too long, but you can simply, again, use the F2 key and rename the files. Give it a shorter file name, and that will take care of it for you on those devices. One thing for some reason they do now is they include your name, not in the title of the book, but in the actual file name. So if you download a book, it'll have the name of the book and then your name included in it. So you might want to remove that. I suspect it is some kind of attempt maybe to try to track piracy if people are sharing books that they're not supposed to be. They call it book share, but you're not supposed to share the book. You can scan it, share it with other users of the system who pay the first year fee of $75 and then $50 each year thereafter. And of course, it is free for students. If you are having difficulty and want to go back to the original site, what they call the legacy site, you can do so. There's just been no updates since the site went into place. But again, we're only talking about a week at this point. So it's kind of a long URL. But if you have difficulty, for some reason you like the old website, you can go to static.legacy.bookshare.org. There's the scoop on bookshare.org. I hope you enjoy the site if you are a member of it. It is a good way to find a lot of textbooks that you may not find otherwise because it is user-driven. These are books that individuals have wanted to read, so they took the initiative and did some proofing on it and then uploaded it so that it can be shared with other users of the system. So I applaud their efforts. I do pay the annual $50, if for nothing else, to support the organization and the wealth of material that they make available to thousands of people. So, if interested, check it out, bookshare.org.
Whether you like to rock, like it slow, or like to dance all night long, SamNet Radio, your station, your community.
So now that we know all the great places to go for the books, let's talk about some hardware to make it happen. Mike, you got your little 4G there, your little Nano.
I do. It's the fourth generation Nano, Apple Nano, and it is just gorgeous. Now, I know that Ricky was talking about sleeping with Victor or snuggling with Victor, and I used to snuggle with Victor, too. Of late, I have been snuggling late at night with my iPod Nano. Unlike the Victor, where it does take some configuration, for me at least, to get podcasts and things like that, I just drop it onto my computer in the morning, leave it there during the day, charging at night. Before I get out of here, I simply pick it up and it's all synced up and it's got all my podcasts from the day, of which I probably listen to about 7 or 8 different podcasts every day having to do with technology, and then any books that I've downloaded from Audible. I am an Audible maniac. I love Audible.com, www.audible.com. They are not a sponsor yet, but I can assure you that they will be soon. And we will have some specials for Serial Talk listeners coming up in the next few weeks, if not a month or two.
Now, which plan do you go for? Do you do like the where you get the 24 credits for $2.29 and knocks you down about $10 a book?
That's the one great plan, because I do that, but I go through so many books. I read probably about 5 books a month. And today, being the presidential inauguration, I was very inspired to download Dreams of My Father by Barack Obama. I know it's available in NLS. And let me tell you, I'm not going to knock the NLS program. I think the NLS program is one of the best programs that we as blind folks have ever had. I grew up on NLS. I still enjoy downloading NLS books to my Victor from time to time. It is not the first place I go anymore, though, because I like going to get the commercial book. It is just an amazing book. Now, I don't know if the one that NLS reads is unabridged or if it's abridged. I happen to be listening. I just have it here in my iPod, Dreams of My Father from Barack Obama, and it is read by Barack Obama. So that is so cool. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into my iPod here, and you're going to hear me navigating around, and then I'm going to run the book for a moment or two, and I'll be back to explain how the process works. Is that cool?
Let's do it.
Settings. Podcasts. Videos. Music.
Here I'm going into the music area, and I'm going to drill down to audiobooks.
Music. Audiobooks.
I'm going to click through a couple of titles so you can hear how it sounds. After that, I'm going to go ahead and select the Barack Obama book, and we will give it a listen for just a second.
Audiobooks. Dreams from My Father, Barack Obama. Infomercial Unabridged Part 1. Infomercial Unabridged Part 2. Insomnia Unabridged Part 1. Stephen King. Insomnia Unabridged Part 2. Stephen King.
As you can tell, I like horror books. Let me get back to this Barack Obama book here.
Infomercial Dream Audible Technology Review, November 2008. Dreams from My Father, Barack Obama. Dreams from My Father.
Random House Audio presents Dreams from My Father, a story of race and inheritance by Barack Obama, read for you by the author.
So what I like about this is the fact that it's read by President Obama, and it is President Obama now because today is the first day in history that an African American is president here in the United States.
Almost a decade has passed since this book was first published. The opportunity to write the book came when I was in law school, the result of my election as the first African-American president of the Harvard Law Review. In the wake of some modest publicity, I received an advance from a publisher and went to work with the belief that the story of my family and my efforts to understand that story might speak in some way to the fissures of race that have characterized the American experience, as well as the fluid state of identity, the leaps through time, the collision of cultures that mark our modern life.
So that's what it sounds like, and let me explain how seamless this process is, Michael. Basically, I go to Audible with the essay browser. I go in there, I pick a book, and I click on either add to cart if I want to buy a couple of books or just express checkout. And then it shows me a download button. I click on that. The Audible manager comes up, starts to download. I can use system access to read the download window, know how far I'm going and all that stuff, and know what time is left. And immediately after it's downloaded, it hands off the book to iTunes, which imports it into my iTunes library, sends it over to the iPod, and I can listen on the iPod, but there's a very cool thing. I can listen to the book in iTunes, and then the moment that I unplug my iPod, it knows where I was in the book. So if I go back and I'm on the go, I can listen. If I go to the gym or what have you, I can start listening to the book wherever. And then when I get back and I plug my iPod in again and I select the book that I was reading from iTunes, I can go ahead and again continue right where I was after I left the gym or what have you. So it is truly a seamless way of doing stuff. That's how I get all my podcasts, and I do everything from technology, Audible Technology Review, which you heard there, which is an Audible, it's a monthly magazine. But also I do a lot of the Leo Laporte stuff and the CNET stuff and, of course, our podcast and Blind Cool Tech, some of their stuff, and some of the ACB radio stuff. So I have quite a wide variety of podcasts on the iPod, plus all my music. It's got a significant battery life. So does the Victor. So do some other products that I'm going to be talking about in the weeks to come that do Daisy Books. It's whatever your choice is. It's very nice to know that I can walk into an Apple store and spend $149 for the 8 gig or $199 for the 16 gig iPod 4th generation Nano, take it home, plug it in, get an Audible account, and iTunes work together to give me an accessible book reader that I can carry anywhere and people aren't going, what is that thing?
Yeah, you describe the device, because I know it's very small.
It's very small. It feels like one of those Hershey bars, not the flat ones, okay, but you know those Hershey bars that are kind of round and have the almonds in them? It's a flat bottom and a round top. The top is kind of round, very small. It's got a wheel on the front that takes a little bit of getting used to. That's how you navigate around. That's what the clicking was, is me actually taking my finger and putting it around the wheel, like you spin the wheel clockwise or counterclockwise, but there's no movement to the wheel. You're just kind of moving your finger on this surface. And then in the middle, there is an enter button. And the wheel, of course, has the top and the bottom and the left and the right. And there is absolutely no marking on this wheel whatsoever. Steve Jobs doesn't like any marred surfaces. You have this very flat device that does take a little bit of getting used to when you touch it, but it is so cool, and it is just so flexible to use. I love it. I really do. I love my Victor. Kudos to the people at Humanware, finally, for bringing a product to the market that's both affordable and innovative. I think it's great, and I think it's got years and years of life to come. I have a Victor. I use my Victor. I don't use it as much as the iPod right now. I just find that the iPod fits my life a little bit better right now. That's kind of my gadget of the podcast.
And what file formats does that support?
It does support the Audible format, the AA format, I think it's called. It supports MP3. AAC, is that what
yeah, they call it. It has the M4A extension, right? AAC Plus files that you buy from... Yeah. iTunes, which, by the way, I assume you know that they're getting rid of all the digital rights management by the end of March.
I saw that. They're making all of their content open, which is very nice and very interesting considering the fact that Steve Jobs just seems so against, you know, doing things like that. They also just changed the pricing on MP3s or on these files for anywhere from 69 cents to $1.29. I also found that to be very interesting considering that Steve put his foot down a few years back about, we won't sell anything for more or less than 99 cents. Finally, they must have come to some sort of an agreement. It's going to be very interesting to see what's going to happen in digital music. I've often said, even back when I was in the music industry, I've said music is not what an artist makes their bread and butter on. It is like their calling card or their resume. An artist should make their money on their concerts, and they should make the lion's share of it on their promotional materials and their concerts. Records, CDs, or tapes, or what have you. Record companies pour millions of dollars into the promotion of these people. And remember that for every number one artist you see out there, there have been, you know, a couple hundred, maybe even a couple of thousand that a record company has invested in that have not made it. So a record company isn't just, you know, oh, you know, the record companies are out to screw the musicians. I don't agree with that. I worked in the music industry for a long time, and yes, the record companies were pretty hard-nosed negotiators, but at the end of the day, they had to be that way, because as painful as it may sound to some people who have a great singing talent, there are many, 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 many people who have great singing talents and great artistic talents, but only a choice few make it into the genres of radio and that kind of thing. And that's why I think that the internet is so cool, man, because now you've got people being able to do their own thing, promote themselves. You've got people looking for indie artists. And I do believe that radio has kind of become a little bit of a cookie cutter scenario. People are kind of tired of that. They want to kind of stretch out and go into new genres of music. And that's where this whole internet radio thing and all of these new indie MP3 sites are a big deal. And people are really getting into their music. I hope that the top record companies, the Universal Musics and such, that they get with the program and continue to get with the program and stop suing people. Don't litigate. Innovate.
Innovate indeed. And that's going to put the wraps on Sarah Talk Podcast number 6. You're probably wondering how to check out SamNet Radio. The URL for the station we will be launching on January 28 is radio.samobile.net. Now, it will be up a little bit before that time, so check in daily, and maybe you'll get a little sneak preview. But the official launch date is the 28th. And make sure to listen to SamNet Radio from the 28th through the 31st, as we will be reporting from ATIA, speaking with as many vendors as we can get to, and make the initiative to come by and say hello to us in the Internet Pavilion. And as always, we welcome you to drop by the SaroTalk.com website, because if you listen to this podcast, you're getting the cake, but you're not able to eat it without the show notes, because that's where we have all the links to the great things that we talk about. And usually we get a couple emails based on every podcast, so we add some more things slightly after the podcast is launched. So always check SaroTalk.com for links to all the great stuff we talk about. And finally, if you have us in your RSS reader, you will notice a new podcast. One of our goals in 2009 is to increase the variety of different content that we provide. And Thursday evenings at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, or 5 p.m. Pacific in the U.S., it is the SaroTalk Tech Chat. It is held in the Tech Chat Room on the SA Mobile Network. And each Thursday evening, we cover a different tech issue. Our first one dealt with the variety of different netbooks, the little mini notebook computers that are out there. And the one coming up in the next day is on social networking. Well, we did a podcast on what it is, but now we're going to go into the details of how it works, how to find people, set up groups, join groups, do some of the different activities, and some standalone applications you can use to enhance the experience. As we strive to be your definitive AT source for 2009, as always, we thank you for listening. Keep the great suggestions coming to resources at SaroTalk.com and your great comments on the blab line at 866-997-2522. And I'll be speaking with you soon from ATIA.
And the hits just keep on coming with the best music of the last 40 years. SamNet Radio.
You've been listening to SaroTalk. Visit us at www.sarotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@sarotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.